get done, you're gonna be taking splinters out of your fat asses all night long because you got fat ass. The only one chance you have, you have no chance. If you had a chance, you'd use the run lickety split. But you can't run because you're the fat ass.
Well, Ric Flair, you know what? I'm not a normal looking athlete myself. You know what I'm talking about? I've been in the dens of lions. It's a privilege and an honor to walk out with Ole Anderson, Lex Luger, and the Omni tomorrow night.
I am not a happy camper. What is Bully Ray's motivation? No, I love him. I know he loves sugar. But I check my pocket. I don't have no donuts. I don't have no cheeseburger. I know you love sugar, but I ain't got none.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. And I'm saying, woo, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, pal. I'm the man.
Booking a match for the total package, Lex Luger and Super Brawl. Super Saturday, what is it? I don't even know what it's called. What is it called?
Super Brawl Saturday.
Super Brawl Saturday?
You don't lose faith in winners. And Ric Flair day in and day out. Every day of his life. Just keep winning and winning and winning.
Ric Flair! New York City, Ric Flair! You're gonna find out what hard is all about!
I do exactly what I want to do. You say I'm insane. I say thank you very much.
Make a good
I hate ducks.
Hit the duck. Yes. We love you, Scott Steiner.
Today, I've got the star and profile like never before.
You guys talk about being students of the game. I am the game, JR.
It is all about that money. Ain't that right? What is going on, everybody? Thursday night, it is Wrestling Outlet. I am Boxman, and across from me is one sexy man. Tell him who you are, sir.
It is I, the voice of Generation Smart Wahlberg. How are you?
I am good. I am better. I woke up Tuesday and thought I was dying. I was sweating. I was shaking. I was weak. I couldn't even hold myself up like in the shower. And we have a seat in the shower, and I couldn't hold myself up. Never happened before. My glucose level dropped, like crashed. My dad is
diabetic. You diabetic?
I am not, but my father is. So... I guess I could be prone to it, so I better watch my ass. But it's taken me a couple of days, man. Yesterday I was still pretty rough, and I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on. But I'm a little better today. Much better. Much better.
That's good.
Got some shit done today, getting some work done out here. SBC, Sasha Baron Corbin in the chat asking a list of today's topics. Oh, you just wait, sir. And did we happen to catch the ratings for yesterday's show? Yesterday's, I think it was 801, right? Dynamite was at 801, you said?
I think that is right. 801, 803. I think it might have been 803. Maybe 801. Let me take a look. I can look it up.
All right. Well, a little more than their usual of what? 750, 780? Well, I mean, what the fuck? Man, I'll tell you. That poor Sasha Banks, my God, I'm telling you right now, and I'll say this till the day I die, if she had gone back to WWE, all the hate would be love. They'd be loving this woman. Sasha's back. Oh, thank God she went to the right place, not that horrible, disgusting AEW where they let people do stuff outside the company and be themselves. Fuck them.
Yeah, it's 801.
What?
Mark's say it's the 801. It was 801. It says marks an improvement from the previous week's viewership of 779.
All right. I mean, she's not CM Punk, folks. She's not going to pop the million. She's just not. But I think she's a good get for AEW. I thought the pop was pretty good for her last night. The crowd was into chanting the CEO. You know, old Jackie Jones from In Your Head was actually live there and said, you know, people can say what they want, but that crowd was fucking loud as hell for her.
Do you think, because I was seeing them criticize him a little bit on The Observer about it, like that they weren't necessarily as sort of in your face about it, about hers as it was with the Punk thing, like everybody knew it was happening, but the Banks thing, unless you're like a little bit more in tune with everything that's going on online with all the, you know, news and all that shit, like if you're not reading the online wrestling news, you might not have known about this, because it's sort of, it's not the same necessarily as the Punk thing, because like I said, the Punk thing was very obvious what was going on. The big business thing was kind of just, it could have been anything if you weren't up to date with the news. It's like, well, what does that mean? Is that just another like big episode of Dynamite, or like what's the deal with it? They didn't start calling it like Boston with the two S's and the dollar signs to them until like a couple days before. So it was like people might not have known what was up necessarily.
No, that was the first time they announced it. They had it with the two S's on the graphic. But they didn't advertise it like that. So, and again, if anyone knew Sasha Banks, we all knew she was from Boston. It was kind of a SBC where we talk about Hughesy. What?
Of course,
not
a loving tribute to Hughesy coming up soon.
Oh, Hughesy, but. Poor little Hugsy.
Look, if he wants to come on, he can come on. I don't know who he is or what he looks like or what he's into. But
no, sure, why not? No. But that was one of the reasons, obviously, I played that song at the beginning for the love of money. And I watched New Jack City over the weekend, so that song is fresh in my mind anyway. So anyway, I don't know why. I just felt like watching New Jack City, so I did.
All right, so you did not have your screen shared with me, the Love the Money song. Is that, was that Bone Thugs?
Oh, no. The OJs.
Oh, okay, good. I was going to say, because that's...
I need to remember to do that.
You don't associate with them.
Oh, no. Not that OJ. OJ didn't sing it.
He's doing solid work.
OJ did sing it. I forgot I didn't share my sound with you. OJ didn't sing it, bro. I'm sorry.
That's all good.
OJ Simpson out there singing. For the love of money.
He was a dual threat. He did acting, he did football, he did murder, he did all kinds of stuff. He's a triple threat.
Got it. To say the least. Wow. Okay. I don't think I really have. I mean, you've got all the articles I have. I mean, if you want me to share my screen, I can. It's up to you.
That's no big deal. I just didn't hear the song. Speaking of Boston things, everybody was talking about it for some reason. I don't get the deal. John Cena's penis. How about it?
It wasn't really hanging out.
But he was walking around naked. I don't know why I heard that. Captivate. It's such a funny thing, because everybody was talking about it as though that's not like how he spent the majority of his career anyway, of just being half naked in front of strangers.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's it was a Hollywood humiliation ritual. Oh my God, Jesus Christ.
That is funny too. It's like people are like, how could he do that? How would he agree to that? It's like, really? Because like 2 weeks ago, the man was sticking up for a man who may or may not have, but probably did, fucking defecate on a woman's face and rape her. So like, that's probably not the worst thing he's done in the last like month or so.
Probably not. But I mean, no, I really don't think this. I mean, listen, if you really think it was a Hollywood humiliation ritual, can we just talk? Literally, go talk about turning the frogs fucking gay. Good God, they're turning the frogs gay, and I can't take it no more.
That is true.
Buy my survival kit. Mm-hmm. In case the end times, because they are near, folks.
And you know it, I know it. How that would humiliate him. The man is fucking jacked, and the man was like kind of naked in that last movie that he was in. We were talking about this Monday, the freelance thing. There was like a scene where he's like showering or something. I haven't seen the movie. I've just seen trailers.
But. No. But and I've got the Ricky Stenicki movie, and I've got that freelance movie. I want to check that out. Actually, I do want to see. Not for that reason, obviously. but I mean, the guy was basically, according to Amy Schumer, he was actually inside her during a filming. The guy, do you really think you can embarrass John Cena, folks? And people are like,
I like how you just low key implied that being inside of Amy Schumer is way more embarrassing than walking around naked in public. I agree.
I, in my opinion, it is. I mean, hey, ask Dolph Ziggler. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. It was all downhill for him after that.
I don't know. Hey, Dolph's.
I also like the idea of she just accusing him of being too athletic and basically just meaning that, like, she didn't want to put in work. It's like, you wanted to skip cardio during sex. That's wonderful.
Fucking lazy bitch. Lose some fucking. Come on. Trim down a little bit. Get some cardio in while you're doing this. Mm-hmm. Although I have a feeling Dolph was like, all right, now I'm going to powerbomb you. And pin.
Just bumping his ass off.
Just, now we know where he learned to bump his ass off.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's it right there, man. Oh, boy.
I wonder if that kind of resembled like the Dynamite main event of just like a very small person trying to make the best of a larger.
That, we'll get into that.
It's actually the perfect visual. That's how I choose to believe it happened. Was it was like very much like that Riho Willow match.
That's probably close to what it was like. I'm just wondering which one was Riho and which one was Willow.
Yeah, I mean,
you know what, folks? It is up to your own imagination. You decide. Mm-hmm. But I will say, choose wisely. Choose wisely. But, all right, yeah, we've obviously got plenty more to get into. We've got more stuff, folks. And by the way, I didn't think it was a big, just to wrap that up, I didn't think it was a big deal for the John Cena thing. And I guess he had like some kind of plastic thing over his butt crack and over his cock. So it wasn't all just, you know, hanging out there with just a piece of fucking, you know, manila folder to cover it.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, folks. Jesus Christ. You know, Smark, since you just brought this up, I talked about this last week, but you were out of town. I hope you had a great time. Jake Paul, Mike Tyson.
Yes.
60-year-old Mike Tyson. Young Jake Paul. I don't know if you remember, but a couple years ago, some video came out of Mike Tyson sparring. So in this one, what would you say? You think Jake Paul's met his match?
I mean, probably not. But at the same time, like, if Mike Tyson, like somebody pointed out, it's a good point. It's like, you don't need Mike Tyson to be Mike Tyson for the, like, that 24-hour period. You need Mike Tyson to be Mike Tyson for about 45 minutes. or even really probably just like 5 or 10. Like, if something happens when that bell rings and he just fucking reverts back to that fucking early to mid 90s Mike Tyson just for like 2 or 3 minutes, that's probably more than Jake Paul or most people would be able to handle even at his age. Like, if that motherfucker just flips out for a brief moment, that's gonna be really dangerous.
Well, yeah, they probably should keep his weed away from him that day. But yeah, that, I said this last week and I'll say it again, that man is still a dangerous fucking man.
I will say this, and I do mean this with all sincerity. I've seen the Jake Paul fights. I've seen the Mike Tyson fights. I know how old both of them are at the moment. If you give me the option, you put a gun to my head and say that I have to fight one of them, I'm picking Jake Paul every time.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like,
fuck yeah.
The difference between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul is that Mike Tyson is very genuinely crazy. And Jake Paul is probably just trying to get some money. There's a big difference between somebody who, like, once threatened, once used the famous phrase, I'm gonna fuck you till you love me, faggot, versus Jake Paul, who was just like just out there trying to get attention. Like, Mike Tyson, he threatened to eat people's kids.
Or who,
like, I'm not messing with that.
Or who looked at a reporter after she accused him of rape and said, now I want to rape you.
Okay. There's actually a great, I was watching like some old Patrice O'Neill comedy about that. He was doing a bit about how he believed Mike Tyson was innocent just based on the fact that he did that interview where he said that he wished he would have raped her. Now, and it's like, yeah, no guilty man would have said that. That is something you say if you have nothing to hide.
That was what he said. Wish I would have raped her. Yeah, that was what he said. Mm-hmm. But, you know, speaking of Patrice O'Neill, this would mean nothing to probably anyone except me. Patrice was on Opie and Anthony a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Patrice O'Neill. Opie, this morning, on his way to wherever he goes, from Opie and Anthony, saw on the street Michael Imperioli. You know who that is. You know,
guy from Sopranos.
Sopranos. But he was Spider mm-hmm. in Goodfellas. So okay. I put, holy shit, it's Spider. Or actually, I just put, it's Spider. And Opie actually fucking laughed at it. Opie himself.
Very good.
It meant a little bit to me. He posted it. I posted. I commented. I was the first to comment, so that might have been the thing. But, you know, Opie and Anthony was a big part of my, I would say, 20s. My 20s. So it was cool to me. It was cool. But anyway. I guess we can get into some Hall of Fame talk. What do you think, Smark?
Sure. I kind of have I know how that feels because I had a similar experience of just like, I tweeted a joke that got liked by the widow of Mitch Hedberg.
Mm.
And it was like, well, that's a good enough cosign for me. I mean, it's not the same as himself, but it's somebody who spent a lot of time with him and knows what good comedy looks like. So
yeah. I'll take it. And you know, I was in here's another one that really fucking blew me away because I love this movie. I forget where the post was, but I think it was in Film Retrospect, a group I follow. And it was about the movie Only the Strong. I don't know if you've seen that movie before. It is not a very well-known movie. It's from the early, maybe the early 90s. Let me see here. Only the Strong. Okay, 1993. Mm. It's got Mark... I cannot pronounce this guy's last name. DeCascos.
Okay.
You do know him. He was the original host of The Iron Chef.
Oh, I barely I watched a little bit of The Iron Chef, but not a lot.
Have you seen John Wick 3?
Actually, no.
Okay, he was in John Wick 3. He was also in John Wick. He's been in a few movies.
I haven't made it that far. I made it to like the first
two. Well, anyway.
I'll eventually get
it. Anyway, it's starring him. It's all about these kids that are in Miami, and he takes them and he teaches them capoeira.
Okay.
Martial art. Anyway, I love this movie. It's been one of my favorites for a very long time. Someone posted about it. I commented, you know, how I think this, what an underrated gem of a movie. Good acting. Great story, blah, blah, blah. And this guy, Shelton Lettich, liked it and said, oh, I really appreciate that. And I'm like, the fuck is this guy? So about an hour later, I go, I'm going to go to IMDb because I'm a fucking idiot. Hey, he's just the writer of the fucking movie. I immediately went back to the post. Oh my God, you're amazing.
Here it is.
Oh, no, wrong movie. But he would have got the reference, though. But yeah. Good stuff like that happens, man. I guess there's the positive of our social media world, if you want to break a positive into it.
No, I remember, like, one time during the hot tag days, there was, like, it was a post about some wrestler. I don't know. They did something stupid. And I just, like, I don't know, where just kind of wrote, hey, they wouldn't have tried that shit with New Jack. And then, like, I went back to Facebook, like, 3 hours later, and just saw, like, Jerome Young liked your post. I was like, I did not know he could see that.
It was probably Davey Richards.
Yeah, oh, yeah, I think I wanted New Jack to kill Davey Richards, and New Jack was like, all right, no.
Oh, okay. I mean, he the guy asked for Shaheen's resume. I don't know if he ever sent that. I don't know.
I like the idea of him just sending it to him, like, via FedEx, like a nice little fucking laminated cardstock.
There, oh yeah, oh lamp. No, you never laminate. Never laminate.
What's my resume? And he just sends him a list of roller coaster rides he can get on.
Listen, bitch, I've been on Splash Mountain. Go suck a dick, all right?
David Richards is just out there just riding the little fucking caterpillar ride just over and over again with a scowl on his face.
Go back on It's a Small World, you fucking little man.
Well, for him it is.
Ah, fuck it, I like that ride. Leave me alone. So anyway, folks, let's go back to the Hall of Fame here before we go way off track.
That's right.
Oh, shit. Hall of Fame. WWE has announced a few more people into the WWE Hall of Fame. And we've got a tag team, Smark. We've got a tag team. No. Oh, yeah. The U.S. Express.
Indeed.
Remember them? Do you remember them?
Not really. Like, I mean, I know who they were, but I never actually really remember seeing any that much from them. I know it was like Windham and Tundra.
Mm-hmm.
But I just never really, for however the cards fell, I just never really saw that much of them working as a tag team. I saw, like, obviously their single shit.
Well,
but never really as a tag team.
Kind of because they only lasted about a year. That might be why you didn't see much of them. And then Dan Spivey joined. And it was called the American Express. So you never left home without him.
That's right.
Right. Right. Anyone who got that joke is as old as I am. Well, you know. But yeah, they weren't really around that long, but they did reunite a couple of times in 2001, 2004, 2005, 2008. So they did reunite a few times. And I mean, obviously, listen to the two names that were involved in it, Wyndham and Rotunda. Whose name was that, Smark? Wyndham Rotunda?
That would be Bray Wyatt.
That would be Bray Wyatt, I guess. Yep. That was Bray Wyatt, absolutely. So, will they announce Bray Wyatt? I don't know.
I'm gonna guess no, just because I think they'll do it next year. They'll just have a little bit more time to plan it out and make it bigger.
I think in Philly, Heyman's your best headline.
Yeah,
I think.
Well, I mean, they're not gonna give anybody posthumously, like, they're not going to give them a headlining spot, I don't think. I could be wrong, but I think they tend not to do that just because it can get a little sad.
It can, and I mean, yeah, it can. But there was a video of Triple H actually telling these guys they were going to be in the Hall of Fame. It was a pretty cool little video. So, I don't know if anyone checked that out. I saw it. It was a nice little video. But That was one of them. Honestly, folks, I don't have too much. I really didn't see a lot of it at this time either. I got to be honest with you. They were in championship wrestling from, let's see here, 83 to 84. From Florida, 83 to 84. WWF was 84 to 85. And it just, and in WWF, I believe, is when Dan Spivey replaced him and it became the American Express. So, yeah, 86, 87 was the American Express. So, look, everyone needs a credit card, folks.
Mm-hmm.
So, why not? Why not? Why not? Why not? But there you go, folks. On the heels of everybody else, the U.S. Express. Now, Smark, here's a good one. I think had a lot to do with had a lot to do with some WrestleManias back in the day. I would say a lot of promo guys kind of molded their style after this man. That would be Muhammad Ali is also going to be inducted into the Hall of Fame class of 2024. Now, I loved Muhammad Ali. I mean, if you guys go back to Hollywood Hangout is still out there, folks. You can still get it anywhere. And honestly, one of me and Anthony's early shows was on Muhammad Ali and Bruce Lee. I don't know why we did both, but we did. Two fighters. Muhammad Ali was absolutely one of the greatest talkers. As a matter of fact, this guy, before you even walked in the ring with him, he had you psyched out just by his talking and his antics. And, I mean, you look at, I mean, listen, we're going to talk about Thunderbolt Patterson in a few minutes here, who influenced Dusty. Thunderbolt was influenced by Muhammad Ali's style. And I would say a lot of other people were influenced by Muhammad Ali's style also when it came to talking shit. The man knew what he was doing. He was just fucking with your head the whole time, and he was great at it. So there you go, Smart.
Indeed.
Yeah, and let's not forget, in 1976, Ali did compete at War of the Worlds. He had a match against Antonio Inoki. That's right.
Yeah, that was wild.
That was pretty fucking crazy, man. That was pretty crazy. But he did pass in 2016. Obviously, a lot of people saw him after all that. You know, the guy was definitely punchy. He had some great, come on, man. He had some great fights out there. Him and Joe Frazier, him and Foreman. I mean, there were some great fights that this guy had, but, you know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? But I think this is a very good one. So what if he was a boxer? I mean, like, we've never had a boxing match in WWF.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I definitely think this is a good one. And like I said, the way this guy could, I mean, he wasn't cutting promos. That wasn't what he thought he was doing. He just thought he was going out there. He was selling a boxing match, folks. He was selling a boxing match. That is what you are supposed to do. And he was the greatest at doing it.
For sure.
Absolutely. So, you got anything more on that?
Not really. I mean, I've been sort of kind of wondering, since we're talking about the whole Mike Tyson, Jake Paul thing, like, at what point did boxing just become a complete fucking spectacle? Like, I mean, I don't necessarily feel too bad about that, because, I mean, at one point, that used to be a big thing. Like, you probably remember better than I, because I was younger when it would happen, but, like, the Tyson fight specifically, you get, like, motherfuckers would get together, and they, like, not on, like, a wrestling pay-per-view, a couple of people put in, like, $10 here, $10 there, everybody chip in, they'd watch, you know, there'd be, like, fight parties and shit, everybody get, like, beer and snacks and shit, and they watch the fights or whatever, they go to, like, a bar and watch it, and, like, it used to be this, like, big event, and then there's a little bit after Tyson because you have would have like the Pacquiao fights, the Mayweather fights, but then like after that, it's just it straight up bottomed out to just like fucking whatever random like influencer fought other influencer. That's just that's the only thing that you see in boxing now.
You know, some people can go back and say Tyson, his, you know, 12, 10 second knockouts were something that ruined boxing, made it just a bullshit spectacle. Gun to my head, asked me to pin it to something, and this is my opinion only. When Don King would have two of his own fighters go in the ring and fight, and it would still only last fucking 30 seconds, and both the guys were getting, you know, bajillions of dollars for doing it, that's kind of when people got tired of it. Don King fucked up boxing, in my opinion.
Wonder what hand the MMA had to do with all of that, because I feel like that's sort of, you get like maybe longer fights, you get some knockouts, you get some submissions. It's a little bit, for a while there, now it's like there's a lot of just fucking grapple fest, but for a while there you'd get some good, there'd be less like people dodging and you get more just people just standing straight up and just banging.
Yeah, I would say definitely that had a lot to do with it too, the kind of rise of MMA. I mean, listen, you see boxing, all right, good, they punch. Oh, these guys fucking kick. But then your boxing purists, like, what's this fucking kicking and getting on the ground shit?
Right.
You know, so, yeah, but I mean, you know, a lot of people did want a step above boxing, and MMA would definitely be that next level.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you know. Definitely good stuff there, man. But I don't know. But we did just talk about Thunderbolt Patterson. And he is the other inductee into the WWE Hall of Fame. Smart. Now, most notably, Dusty Rhodes says that this is where he got a lot of his promo style from. And a little bit of Superstar Billy Graham. So, you know, but I got to be honest, a lot of his career is a little before my time. I'm not going to lie. He wrestled in the 1960s and 1970s. Now, folks, I do have to say something. He's 82 years old. He's still alive. Like, a lot of people thought he was dead. Because I saw a lot of people going, literally, I saw people posting, "Oh, a nice one to put the deceased wrestlers." And I'm like, "Did anyone Google this before they posted this?" Yeah. Still alive.
I mean, honestly, being a wrestler, and being 82 years old, and still being alive, I feel like even regardless of what he achieved or didn't achieve in his career, I feel like that's like worthy enough to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, especially back just then. They were doing back then. Yeah.
One of my favorite, I was reading a Bleacher Report article about it. You gotta love, this is Bleacher Report. This is a big news service.
Yeah.
Even they don't, well, I mean, I'm not saying legitimate. Incredibly. I'm just talking about visibility. I'm talking about the amount of people that go to them for things. Even they, much like the Observer, do not pay people for proofreaders. Because I'll read this out to you a little bit of the paragraph. It says, Patterson's time as Anderson, Arn Anderson's partner, was notable since it led to Anderson breaking up with Patterson, joining forces with Arn Anderson, and eventually creating the Four Horsemen stable. So Arn Anderson kicked Thunderbird Patterson to the curb and then became a tag team with himself and became part of the Four Horsemen.
Part of the Four Horsemen.
Because he said Anderson turned on him and then joined up with Arn Anderson.
Oh. Now, what is SBC asking about Mike Messier? What happened to him? What's this YouTube video? Oh, I'm going to regret this, aren't I? Wait. Oh no, this is another show. This is looks like Mike and Ian, and they're doing 67 pages of Vince McMahon sexual. They read the whole thing.
Oh my God, that is a missed opportunity for us or for just anybody in general. I would love a 67, like a full, the full 67 pages read out by Bobby Anthem. How great would that be?
Oh, I mean, listen. I'd listen. I would definitely listen. That would that would be a romance novel by the end.
It's like, it's weird that this is actually oddly sensual, considering the deplorable things that have happened here. But
women going, I don't know why, but someone needs to shit on my head right now.
Yeah, this is exactly what happened. It'd be like how this, like after you had the 50 Shades of Grey stuff come out, more women got into like being like bound and gagged and shit. If you had Bobby reading the fucking Vince McMahon allegations, all of a sudden scat would go up by like 20%.
Jeez, man, that why are these poop videos so wonderfully? Well.
That is actually, now that I think about it, that makes all the sense in the world that he's fucking Johnny Ace is married to the Bella Twins mom.
It's actually,
and all the ties together, doesn't it?
It's actually kind of creepy, but
it's actually very creepy, but what can you do?
The whole thing is weird, knowing Johnny could have done that whole family except the brother. Maybe the brother. Who knows? Hey.
Got into it. I got confused. It was middle of the night.
Who am I to judge?
I sleep. Some people sleepwalk. I sleep fuck. You know,
thought I smelled shit. Didn't know. No, I'm sorry. That was the doctor. That was the doctor, not Johnny. It's the doctor.
Now that's all said and done, and he's like fired, and they don't do that anymore. He just like goes to porta potties. That's the only way he can find his validation anymore.
I mean, I gotta ask you, what does Vince do now to get his rocks off?
Count the money that he has left.
Oh, he's got plenty of money left. I wouldn't be sitting here going, "Oh, the man is gonna go broke."
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't worry about that.
Smart. Yeah, I mean, that is a good question, though. If you're at the point where you're just so, like, desensitized, like the fucking the Jake Roberts thing from Beyond the Mat, where he's like, at first it was one girl, then it was two girls, and it was two girls, and I watched, where it just, like, kept getting more depraved. It's like, what do you do when you get off by, like, shitting on somebody and raping them? It's like, the next, like, he has to just be out there just, like lighting homeless people on fire and then just, like, cranking.
Wow. Okay.
He just has like a bunch of those bum fight videos and then just like a gallon of Jergens.
All right, that was a bad question. You know, but,
I mean, you wanted an answer. You got an answer. I'm trying to figure out what would be more depraved than that, and that's about the best I could come up with. Other than the obvious of like, you go down in age, but let's hope not.
No. Ooh.
That's more of a Lawler thing, actually.
Yeah, let's not worry about any of that. But
they call that Memphis Heat.
So speaking of the whole Vince McMahon thing, Smark.
Yep.
Couple of people have been named in it. WWE President Nick Khan and COO The Coup. Brad Bloom were officers number one and officers number two. And I believe even Stephanie was named. And, you know, Stephanie was barely there during some of this, so let's just leave her out of it. Nick Khan, by the way, it doesn't say they were involved. It just says they were, like, there. Nick Khan could have been involved in the hiring process. She was trying to get hired.
It's true, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, listen, again, we didn't go through the 67 pages of this whole thing, but I don't think that the officers were really involved in anything, especially anything sexual. So, now.
And that's still, like you said, we haven't really read the 67 page report thing, but that still leaves itself open to what did they know? Did they hide anything?
Well,
that sort of matter of like, what parts did they play? Also, in the meantime, I can hear you, but I think I got to go let the dog out, so I'll be right back.
Okay, no problem. Now, this also brings up the fact that Nick Khan did get put on the board. And we do know that the board did have some non-public information. Now, if this was the non-public information they had, then yes, Nick Khan did know. Now, again, I don't know what information. There could be something we still don't know. At this point, I don't even know why that it would come out. It will eventually anyway, but I don't know. I mean, at this point, there's so many ifs about what, who did what and this and that. So I guess we're all just going to have to see what happens with this lawsuit. But yeah, I really don't think this is as big of a deal as everyone's making it. If Nick Khan did know about it from being part of the board, how much you want to bet there was an NDA to be on the board? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's so many, like I said, there's a lot of twists and turns in this one. But yeah, Nick Khan could have known, he could have, when he was appointed to the board, that this was something that could come out one day. And he probably signed an NDA when he jumped on that board. So, hey, who knows? Questions, Mark. Lots of questions there.
Yeah, I mean, there's still a lot that we don't know. And there's still a lot that's going to come out over the next couple of months. So, oh, yeah. It'll be interesting to see, I suppose.
That's right. Stay tuned, folks.
It's a terrible thing to joke about, but that makes me, it reminds me of the fucking Dave Chappelle joke about like him watching the fucking the Bill Clinton Monica Lewinsky thing every night on the news for it being like the best like replacement to porn. He was like, I swear to God, at one point they looked at the camera and said, "Don't bust him out yet. We'll be right back."
I remember that.
I think it was like Killing Him Softly.
I think it was. God, you. I gotta watch his. I think he has a newer Netflix special out there, so we need to check that out. But folks, mm-hmm. you may have thought we were done with the Hall of Fame, but according to Dave Meltzer, we're not. Oh no. According to Dave Meltzer, Leah Maivia, former wrestling promoter and grandmother to Dwayne The Rock Johnson, has been confirmed as an inductee in this year's class. A WWE source confirmed that Maivia would join the 2024 Hall of Fame class. And they are still saying Bray Wyatt could be. This update was yesterday, and they're still saying Bray Wyatt's a possible. But she is going to be inducted. It did say The Rock did have a heavy influence on this.
You don't say it.
So there you go. Now, I know when her husband died, she did take over the Samoan promotion. I believe it was, I forget the name of it. But she did take it over. But this is all according to Dave Meltzer. So, you know, this could also be a 8, 9, 10-year-old article, so who knows? Or I just hope people are just like purposely trying to just swerve Meltzer now. That'd be fucking awesome. If this was just total bullshit. And Mel
he's just reporting on how like the fucking like how Vince had his limo driver in the Hall of Fame, the guy that fucking walks The Rock's dogs is gonna be in the Hall of Fame next week.
Oh, shit. Next thing you know, Meltzer's going to report that Vince's limo blew up again.
Oh, that would be an interesting twist to get to see him try to get himself out of the hot water by, like, faking his own death, but, like, for realsies.
Be like Elvis then.
Mm-hmm.
Because... you know he's. You don't think Elvis is dead, do you? Do you?
They're not. No, of course not. There was a movie about him like 2 years ago.
I do too. I do too. Oh, the feed died for a minute? You know what? My camera locked up for a second. Did the feed complete? Because I'm still recording. It doesn't look like it died. That was 12 seconds ago. SBC, you're back. Yeah, you're right. A lot of the loons are coming out to get Chris Benoit now in the Hall of Fame.
What I'd like to know is, like, why this year? Like, what about this year in particular is like, all right, let's fucking lead the charge.
I don't get it. I don't get why they're saying we should put... I don't get why anyone says it in the first place. It makes no sense to me. Why? Because of Paul Heyman? Whatever.
I mean, I guess that's an interesting way to, like, because there's people wondering, like, if Heyman will address, like, Brock Lesnar during his speech at all. It's like, well, that's an interesting way to, like, deflect away from that.
Yeah, yeah, like, SBC is saying, it's now that Triple H has control. This should have nothing to do with who has control of the company. SBC, I know this is not you. I am not directing this at you. I swear to God, bro, you're awesome. I am not directing this at you. What the fuck are people thinking? What in the fuck do people want? Is Triple H supposed to be the wrestling Jesus? Is he supposed to right every wrong, my people, my brothers? Is he supposed to right all the wrongs out there in the world? Is he supposed to heal the sinners? What the fuck do you think this guy is? Do you really?
That would actually be pretty great if that's what happened. Okay. If for 1 year, just 1 year, you had just like you elected all of the most despicable people into a class for the Hall of Fame. Like, I think you put Snuka back in there. Yeah, fucking Teddy Hart gets in, even though it was never even with WWE. You just put Teddy Hart in. Alberto Del Rio gets a spot.
Oh.
Fucking Velveteen Dream. Just everybody. You just have the whole. I think Lawler's already in the Hall of Fame, but, you know, have him do one of the speeches. Just all have right. Despicable People Night at the Hall of Fame.
That's a Hall of Shame. And just like SBC is saying, do you really think Triple H wants that kind of fucking heat on his company? After what the fuck is going down with the old boss? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, let's drop fucking Benoit in there, the fucking murdering scumbag. I'll say it if no one else will. I'm glad he killed himself after he killed them. I'll say it if no one else will. Good fucking riddance. Bye.
I totally agree with that.
And folks, I don't know.
I'm just like sort of in the back of my head picturing, like, because David Benoit was saying that he wanted to be a wrestler. I just like the idea of him just like going to like MLW or something. And he tries to be like a babyface character, but just everyone just doesn't trust him.
And, you know, the sins of his father should not follow him around. It really shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for that dude. I really fucking do. But I'm sorry, man. Your name, unfortunately, is a legacy that, you know what? That was the wrong word. Not even a legacy. Your name, unfortunately, is tarnished. Let's just put it that way. I'm sorry about the whole legacy word. Your name is tarnished, dude. There's nothing you can do. And you can't build that back up, man. There's certain things you can come back from. There's certain things you can come back from. Ask Wardlow. But, you know, murder, suicide's a tough one.
MLW as...
That's what?
He fucking debuts in MLW as David Von Erich. He's just like, old Texas boy, that's me.
He's got the eyes, dude. He's got those crazy eyes.
That is the saddest part, is he looks exactly like him, so it's just like, dude, there's nothing we can do with you. We're sorry. Like, you could be the greatest wrestler ever. We can't. We're sorry, but we can't.
Nah, and you know, like I said, I feel bad for the guy. He shouldn't have to pay for what his father did, and you know, I hope someone does give him a chance, but that name is not going to work, and I think whoever gives him the chance just need to sit him down and go, dude, we all know who you are, but you cannot go out there with that name. As soon as he hits out there, if he actually does get over, what do you think the news is going to fucking do? the son of Chris Benoit out wrestling. Oh my God, blah, blah, blah. Nancy Grace will be out there fucking tricking DDP to go back on her show again. Just to fucking ambush him, that fucking bitch.
Nancy Grace reporting live from CZW.
So, DJ, can you get out of the fucking shot? Okay.
DJ, why are you taking pictures of me from behind? What's that about? DJ, stop taking pictures of my feet. We're trying to do something. We're reporting here.
Can you get out of the background with the CZW banner, please? Okay. And why?
Benoit versus like Jimmy Lloyd.
And why are you naked?
Yes.
And who still has a Polaroid, you freak? Okay.
He's trying to deny that he didn't do anything. He's fucking shaking the photo while he's...
Can't afford an iPhone. I don't like that cloud. Don't forget CZW this weekend. Okay. CZW.com.
They're more roster members than they do fans at this point.
Just watch GCW, everybody. Much better show. Much better. All right. So... Smart, let's have a little fun here like we haven't been already.
Sure.
I know you are a huge fan of country music, Smart.
Absolutely.
I know you are. But folks, I just thought this was kind of a funny one. We're not going to spend more than just a couple fucking, maybe a minute, maybe two on this at the most. But folks, they were in Pittsburgh. Zach Bryan was in concert, and he got some help from, of course, Smark, the mayor, the mayor of Pittsburgh herself, Britt Baker. That's right.
Shane Dudley. Oh, Britt Baker.
That's right. She's from Punxsutawney. I will bet you money.
Like the groundhog?
Yeah. I actually have a one of my best friends in Florida. One of my best friends is from Punxsutawney, home of the groundhog.
If she can see her own ass, you get three more weeks of winter.
I don't think she can. And Smark, Cameron Hayward, Steelers player.
Mm-hmm.
Both went up there and were singing with Zach Bryan. Now, Smark, I've got audio.
Okay.
I think I have audio. Hold on. I might need to refresh the audio. Let me refresh the audio, folks. Hold on here. Oh, here we go. It'll be up in a second here. And once again, I forgot you can't hear that. But anyway, she was up there singing with him, flipping her hair, and having a good old time with Zach Bryan.
Well, there you go.
I didn't even see the football star up there. Didn't even see him. But Smark, it's time for the big news, sir. The big news, the big, big, big news of the week, what everyone's talking about. What is happening in the wrestling world that everyone needs to know about? Smark, after 7 years, it's over.
Leave the memories alone.
Leave them alone, folks.
Boom, boom, boom.
That's it. Lana and Miro are splitting. But they're still friends. And she's back to CJ Perry, obviously. But they've called it quits on their marriage, folks. So she's back on the market, guys.
Mm-hmm.
She's back on the market, gentlemen. So let the thirst loose.
Oh, it's about fucking time, because, you know, the only thing that was keeping me away from her was the fact he was there.
Absolutely. I'm sure a lot of people were very scared of Miro. I'm sure now, guys, you've all got a shot with her.
I was thinking that too, actually. It was like, okay, if she ends up dating somebody else in the wrestling industry, Liv Morgan, if I was that guy, that's what I'm hearing anyway, but like, if I was the guy, if it was a guy and not Liv Morgan, who, like, you would be fucking, like, you could not work for AEW because, like, you would be fucking looking behind you the entire time.
Yeah. Miro, I think, would be not a guy I want on my bad side.
I would be checking in with him like I was like a fucking teenager and I was dating his daughter. I'd be like, all right, so planning on hitting the TGI Fridays. Does that sound cool? Like, might see a movie afterwards. You want me to bring you back something? Or
whatever, what's up? You want something to go? Look, man, I'll sneak you a drink.
Yeah, I mean, I'll get you.
I'll sneak you out a drink.
Get you some potato skins if you want some like juji fruit or something from the theater. I'll get you. I mean, that's, we're talking like $25 a fucking carton of candy at this point. I mean, and, you know.
And let me tell you what, those fucking potato skins, bro, are the bomb. I love those things.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a huge fan of potato skins. I am. I do them here sometimes. I make them at home.
That is kind of the funny thing that I've seen about this, is that there's a lot of people who are just very excited at the idea that now that they're no longer a thing, that she may end up starting an OnlyFans. Because she already has her own little like premium content thing, but they're thinking that she's going to start an OnlyFans, and they're going to see more than just paying like $200 a month to see like half a titty, which is probably what's going to happen if that does happen, but it is what it is. It is just kind of funny, though, because it's like they just said, well, not really, because it was in, like, December, but it's like,
yeah,
they're not too far removed from separation. Like, let the woman go through her life. Like, you can already see photos of her butthole online. Just be patient, motherfuckers. Goddamn.
And by the way, if I could, like, literally just sit at home and show people my butthole and make, like, you know, $500-$600 a day, motherfucker, mm-hmm. I would do it. I'll do it. Sign me up. Where do I sign up for that job? I'll fucking clean it. I'll trim it. I'll whatever I got to do, man.
That's it.
I'll wax it. I'll go get it waxed. I don't care. Whatever I got to do, man.
Fucking, that is the new American dream.
I'll fucking sit there and I'll fucking helicopter like Ric Flair for you, like he did on the plane. Helicopter, helicopter, helicopter.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Okay. The unfortunate part of this is that if you're Ric Flair in this scenario, that would maybe unfortunately make me Tommy Dreamer, which I'm not looking forward to for a multitude of reasons. First off, I feel like I'm in better shape at this point. Second off, I don't want to be the person that's just like, it should be an honor if you're a flight attendant to see Ric Flair's penis. Like, it's such a weird angle that he came with. It's not even like, I don't believe her, the bitch is lying. It's more like, she should be flattered. He's a legend in the industry.
I've seen it. I mean, I feel honored. Okay.
Mm-hmm. You should be happy that he's willingly showing you and that you're not having to, like, you know, sneak into his locker room like I do.
Oh, God. Craziness. Craziness. All right. Mm-hmm.
He was also the same guy that was, like, planning on killing himself in an ankle. And it's like, well, how do you get to reap the benefit of that, Tommy?
Yeah, and then I think at one point he even said he was thinking of going in and killing Heyman at one point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's actually what I was alluding to.
Yeah.
I thought it was supposed to be an angle, but yeah, I think he was actually just planning on, like, killing Heyman and then himself. So that's cool. Like, if I was Paul Heyman, I wouldn't at all be worried about that.
Nah. I mean, it's fucking Tommy Dreamer. He's such a nice guy.
It's a good thing, at least, that, like, Brock Lesnar is your best friend. Because I would just be hiding behind that motherfucker 24/7.
You still wouldn't be able to see Paul behind him. Brock's so fucking wide.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's like a fucking tree trunk. Like a fucking oak. Ugh. Anyway, let's move on here. We go from a tree trunk to a twig, folks. We go to AEW boss Tony Khan. is...
by the by, I would really love if he just decided to back CJ in this situation. He just, like, releases Miro. Like, after, like, years of them, like, Miro avoiding the Mark Miro treatment, if he just got the Mark Miro treatment by Tony Khan. Like, I like Miro, actually, but it'd just be funny if they just, like, fucking cut him and kept her.
Or they've got, you know, just CJ out there beating the shit out of Miro.
Mm-hmm. Or Miro's on Rampage now.
That'd be fun, too. That'd be fun, too. Well, that's like, basically look, where he is now.
You're about to feud with Commander, friend.
That's what he's doing now.
Yeah, that's true.
I haven't seen him on Dynamite. I'm going to go. I read through Dynamite last week. He wasn't there. Wasn't there this week.
He's never there. It's a shame because he was doing some interesting stuff for a minute, but then that all went by the wayside.
Man, imagine losing that piece of ass. Jesus Christ. Anyway.
I don't even know what the fuck the problem is with it because he can cut promos. It's not like he can't promo. It's not like a Brian Cage situation. Like, he can do a good promo. He's got charisma. He's got personality. He's got a good look. He's a decent wrestler. Like, what the fuck?
I don't know. And everyone says he's a fucking gotten like a nice dude. So.
I guess that's it.
Ah, there you go. Always the problem. These fucking nice guys finish last, sir. Nice guys finish last.
Just fucking sucker punch Sammy Guevara backstage to see if it helps you.
It seems to work. Seems to work.
Which, by the way, I know you talked about that last week, but is that not, and I'm probably the last person, everybody else has probably already said this before and made this point already, does it not seem like a weird coincidence that they suspended Sammy Guevara the week before Sasha Banks made her AEW debut?
Yeah, a little
like,
bit.
Like, he fucking injured Jeff Hardy last month, and they're just like, they just now got around to suspending the motherfucker.
But yeah, exactly. They're like, maybe we should just give him a little time. A little time off. Meanwhile, we're definitely going to be talking about that in just a few minutes. But yeah, that was pretty coincidental, I thought. I thought the same thing, Smart. I thought the same thing. Mm-hmm. But Tony Khan, once again, was, as usual, not commenting on questions about the release of Kevin Kelly. He was just kind of gone from the Collision broadcast team. And it says in this article from Wrestling Inc., it says, speaking with TV Insider, Khan was asked about Kelly's firing and whether he could give any details on that decision, to which Khan decided to not comment. I prefer to not comment on that, but I appreciate you asking, Khan said. Now, I guess what's going around is that him and Ian Rickenbonnie didn't get along. What? The most polite go fuck yourself in the world, right?
Well, it's great for two reasons. First off, I just brought up the article, and I just love how every picture of Tony Khan is a bad picture. Like, I don't understand how the poor guy does that photograph at all. He always just looks like he just has no idea what he's doing in every photo. That's great. And I also love the idea where he's just like, I'm not telling you shit, but I appreciate your interest. Like, like you said, it's the most polite way of telling somebody to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. But I guess him and Rick Mine never got along. There have been tweets of them going back and forth with each other, and I guess AEW decided to choose one over the other. I don't know, but I guess, you know, Kevin Kelly made fun of Ian Rickabani once, and Rickabani came back and said that, you know, go to a QAnon meeting or something, which, whatever. I don't know. I didn't know his political stance, so now I do, I guess, which I don't give a shit about. But I guess that's how it all started, and I guess AEW just got fucking sick of it and said, let's choose the younger guy.
That's probably all it goes down to. This is Rick Abani's probably cheaper.
Probably. So that's what they done did, folks. Tony Khan is just becoming the artist of just the no comment. You know what, though? I know
that's
a lot.
An improvement?
Yes. I would rather him no comment than say something dumb. Because Tony Khan is known for saying some dumb things, folks. So this might be the best thing he could do. But if he's going to do that, he needs to get someone who can answer these questions and maybe not be him at those fucking press conferences. Yeah, that might be a better idea. Maybe he shouldn't be doing these interviews. He should be getting someone to do some interviews that can answer questions like that. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's logical. It's how you run a company, but who am I to say? Who am I to say? All right, Smark. Let's get into this last one here.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk a little bit about Al Snow here. Al Snow was talking with Vince Russo, of all people, on YouTube. And they were talking about AEW because that's about all Vince Russo likes to talk about anymore. Here we go. Al Snow said this about AEW. He explained to Russo why he believes that a wrestler may eventually suffle? I don't even know. Is suffle a word?
It is now.
I have no clue if suffle is actually a word. Let's see. Suffle.
Nope. I think it's pronounced souffle.
Yeah, that's what it would end up being eventually, but that's not where I was going at all. Al Snow explained to Vince Russo why he believes that a wrestler may eventually suffer a fatal injury inside an AEW ring, which I thought it was funny the way they worded that. Because basically all the headlines of a lot of articles, not this one, which is why I pulled it up, were saying Al Snow guarantees someone will die in AEW ring. And I'm like, yeah, let's read this one instead. So that's what we did. So here we go. Regarding the potential criticism of his views, Snow stated, you're going to have those that are going to defend it, and those that are going to get upset and take the that I've got an axe to grind and that I'm bitter and I'm not, emphasizing that he is satisfied with everything. Snow emphasized his past efforts in advocating for standards of training and safety in wrestling, particularly during his tenure in OVW. He expressed his belief that the escalation of risks in AEW matches may lead to a tragic accident. All right. Here we go one more time. We now have escalated to where we've watched Will Ospreay go up into a vertical suplex with the guy standing on the second rope and drop straight on his head. We watched Orange Cassidy get dropped bodily on the top rope and almost be cut in half. Okay. How much exponentially, I got that fucking word out, has the scale went up that we're going to watch someone die? Meaning, legitimately, they're going to die right in front of our eyes in a match. Now, I...
still gonna kick out at two of those motherfuckers.
Oh, he would. Even dead. Head, Al Snow and Headwood.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little surprised he didn't bring up Darby Allin at all. A little surprised.
Right, yeah, you would think so, especially considering the timing of all this.
Right, exactly. But I guess since Darby is leaving for climbing, he didn't give a shit. Someone could die doing anything. The simplest spot. I mean, look what happened with Rey Mysterio and, what was it, El Perro Aguayo, right?
I believe
that was his name. just a simple, you know, scissor throw to the ropes with the leg, and the guy fell wrong, man. Could happen anywhere. Now, I mean, Al Snow forgets this is a guy that was in ECW. Come on, man. You've seen shit, Al. Remember? So, okay, you grow, you live, you learn. So I guess that's kind of where he's coming from now. All right, I wouldn't have done that. Had I known what I know now, I wouldn't have done what I did then. I get it. But, I mean, no one's putting a gun to these guys' head, Al. No one put a gun to your head when you were out there doing crazy spots either. No one's putting a gun to their head. Mm. And I may quote Rocky IV.
He dies. He dies.
That's it.
Someone may. Someone possibly could. Yeah. Someone could die in WWE. Someone could die in fucking micro wrestling, goddammit. Sorry, Smart. Go ahead.
No, well, I'm going to hell for laughing about that. Little stretcher. It's like an RC car ambulance. You just fucking...
Now you're going to hell. The RC car was a little too much. It was the RC car, Smart. The RC car put it way over the fucking top, my man.
Yeah, that's wild. No, I'm stuck. I had a whole point planned. I'm just the idea of a bunch of sad little people, and it's like fucking blowing my mind. Anyways, the point I was going to attempt to make was just that shit like this happens literally, well, not all the time, but it happens fairly often, and it happens in rather like mundane situations. Like, it's nothing that's ever really too crazy. It's never an outlandish spot. Like, fucking Draws got paralyzed on a fucking spine buster. Misawa died in the ring. There was nothing crazy. It was regular fucking standard match that he wrestled fucking hundreds of times before. Like you said, Perro Aguayo, Silver King. Just any number. There's been a death in the WWE ring before. That was the only time somebody died because of recklessness, or, you know, really, honestly.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, okay, somebody fucking taking a Tiger Driver is probably not going to kill them. Accidents happen. It's not like really AEW is doing anything that's going to heighten the risk of anybody dying more so than say WWE is, TNA is, New Japan is, so on and so forth. Like even the death matches. Really, nobody's been seriously injured doing deathmatch. Like, the only one that really ever comes to mind was, like, Nick Gage, like, an artery got cut, and he almost bled out. But that was the only one out of, like, hundreds upon hundreds of deathmatches, and nothing bad has ever really happened.
Gage did that. I think Grim Reaper once cut an artery going through pane of glass off of a ladder. Zandig, or was it Joey Janela, damn near lost his finger. I forgot.
The same thing happened to Sexy Eddie with the fucking a cutting artery, and he was shooting the blood into his mouth. It was pretty sick. But like,
I remember that.
If you think about how many death matches happen every year,
oh yeah,
and you think about there's only like a handful of people that have ever like seriously, and that's they cut an artery. I mean, that shit could also happen if you're, you know, going through a table or like the fucking Darby Allin glass spot. I'm just like, it can happen. These things happen.
Dude, I would say
more than anything about if we're talking about just like shit that AEW did, like I could see criticism for like the idea of like the panes of glass and shit exploding and going into the crowd and how that's not a great idea.
No, that's not a great idea. And I like how people were posting that they put up like a warning now, like pre-show, like, hey, you know, like a fucking Gallagher show, you know, hey, hey, might get some watermelon juice or glass on you. Bring some plastic. Bring some plastic, waka waka waka. Okay.
Who does the Gallagher gimmick in AEW? Like, that is the question that we now have to answer.
You know, you could bring Joey Janela back for that. I'd bring Joey back for that. Who else would you get? Let's see. Let's think this through. Nick Camerato. Mm-hmm. Nick Camerato.
Yeah, fuck it. You're not doing anything with him.
Yeah. Fuck it. Let's put Nick out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great thing. Someone should do a Gallagher gimmick in wrestling.
I would actually maybe pose you one better and say that you bring in fucking Ziggler to do that. Oh. And then you have his brother be Gallagher too. And then they have a feud.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
It plays out perfectly.
I think it does too. I like this. I like a Gallagher gimmick.
Mm-hmm.
See, Tony. Tony, I hope someone plays this for you, Tony. Just this clip. Because then they could bring the plastic, okay? So, Tony, you'd be covered right there. You'd already have the plastic. So when some other dumbass decided to go through the glass, they could hold up the plastic.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
you could have your own fucking licensed ponchos that you sell, and like you know, like you said, the plastic. You could sell the little mallets for the kids. It'd be perfect.
Dude, I love it. And you bring in Ziggler, and you call him Zalliger.
Mm-hmm. Zalliger.
Zalliger. Zilliger. Did you just say Zilliger?
Nope. That was all you.
Zilliger. Zilliger. Ooh. I'm expecting royalty checks in the next fucking 6 months. How about you? 50-50. 50-50, Smark. Me and you. 50-50. I'm expecting royalty checks, Tony. Just DM me for sliding my DMs there for my info for my check information.
See, Box wants money. I'm a little bit more of a mark. If you just like give me some StarCast tickets and we do some cocaine together over a weekend, that'd be fun enough, I guess. Why not? Fucking
StarCast tickets.
I'm like, you know, we do some cocaine real quick in the back. Maybe just like listen to some DMX with Kingston. We'll have a good weekend.
That wouldn't be bad, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kingston wouldn't be bad for that gimmick either. He wouldn't have to wrestle too much. He'd have a big fucking hammer in his hands. I'm only doing this, folks. I'm looking at the time, and we got plenty of time. Kingston could do it. He's not in. The funny thing was Gallagher was in better shape than Kingston. But Gallagher swung.
I'm such a mad partner.
Gallagher. See where I'm going?
Gonna backfist this watermelon partner.
Eddie Kingston, man. All right, we'll get into it. We'll get into it. You know what? Let's back off of all this. Let's just stop. We've talked enough. I love
that because of how ill-fitting it is, but it would actually, like, because it doesn't make sense at all, but I would still just love to see the fucking suspenders, the striped shirt, just all of it. And have him fucking shave his head like Gallagher. It'd be great.
How did we go from Al Snow talking about death?
Actually, it makes logical sense.
I think I brought up Gallagher. I brought up. It's my fault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did, because you were talking about the panes of glass exploding into the ring, and you said you need like somebody to like fucking like treat me like a Gallagher show.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, ooh, then we need a Gallagher gimmick.
I think so. I'm still surprised no one's done our management gimmick, where there's actually like a management office.
Mm-hmm. I genuinely believe Wrestling DMV is a great idea. Oh, like you go to get your manager's license and all of that shit.
Oh yeah, just a whole like a wrestling, like a tax office, but it's like a wrestling tax office.
Mm-hmm.
You got to go in. You got to pay for your titles. You got to pay for your licenses. You got a fucking grievance. Go to the office. Go to the office.
You bring back Kong, you have her work in there. She's like always making people like fucking wait in line for longer, like if they do at the actual DMV. She's surly. She's not having a good time, even though she has a cushy job. Like, it'd be perfect.
Computer's always down. It's mm-hmm. like the fucking McDonald's ice cream machine.
Yeah.
That's the joke. That would be the joke, obviously. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. We've got some good shit here, bro.
I think Al Snow would actually be good for the Wrestling DMV, too. We could get Al Snow involved.
Oh, I don't know. Someone might die in the DMV.
Fucking Safety Snow. That'll be part of his gimmick. Is he'll make sure that you're not being reckless.
He's the safety officer. Oh.
Be pretty great. Like, there's a fucking ladder match, and he comes and he just adjusts the ladder to make sure that nobody gets hurt.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he comes down mid-match, checks it, got a little clipboard. Mm-hmm. Oh, dude. Dude, I think we need to start.
Somebody's about to fall off the ladder. He puts a little mat down so it'll cushion their fall.
Dude, I think we need to start a fucking... No. See, I'm a packaging guy. He brings out a mat wrapped in bubble wrap.
There you go. Yeah, like the shit that Jericho fell off when he went off the cage and everybody made fun of him and he got really upset about it.
Those were his fucking corrugated boxes, dude. SBC, we already talked about Sammy getting suspended. Where the fuck did you go? You fucking leave us?
I think that was last week, primarily. If you will do a rewind, I just thought it was kind of a funny coincidence that he got suspended. Not coincidence at all, really, wink, wink, that he got suspended at the fucking week before Mercedes debuted. So that was interesting.
Wait a minute. What did you go do? Take a piss? You can't. No. No. You bring a fucking Gatorade bottle when you listen to us. Okay? Go get you an extra large drink at a fucking gas station to pee in.
I had a conversation.
Oh my god!
I didn't have a conversation. I was an unwitting and unwilling participant in this conversation, like at work a while back. The amount of people who have pissed into a Gatorade bottle while on the road, so that they because they couldn't pull over or they didn't have the chance to pull over, is just wild. And like, unfortunately, you would be surprised how many of them are actually female, and like, I'm trying to figure out the logistics of that. That seems like it'd be a really messy situation.
You would, it makes you wonder why they have such big cups in truck stops. Well, them truck drivers are thirsty. Are they? Are they that thirsty?
I really try not to think about anything that goes on at truck stops.
Well, I mean, first of all, I live 4 minutes from one. I can't help it, but when I used to do the horses with, you know, all the jumping and stuff with my sister, a lot of the bigger farms had truck drivers. And those guys had to get those horses they had to be there. They had to get the horses, go to the next fucking state, and they had to get there, man. And, you know, that was before all these, you know, before Al Snow took over for the fucking truck safety and made everyone fucking pull over every fucking 8 hours. But yeah, man, I heard some stories as a kid, dude, of what those guys would do in those trucks, man. We used to travel down the road behind them and we would listen to the CB. You should hear the stuff that they used to talk about on those CBs.
No. I have. My grandpa, I would go on road trips when we moved to Tennessee. We would go back to Chicago every so often. And I'd be like 12 years old or whatever in the car with my grandparents. And they fucking loved having the CV on.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they were awesome, man. I had one even in Florida. I had one till I had a CB in my car till I was probably 22, 23. I even had one in the truck that I drove when I was delivering boxes. So good times, man. Good times. So I guess we can get into AEW since we are not taking this Al Snow thing seriously.
I was actually kind of thinking about that. It just made me laugh that he's like genuinely concerned that he doesn't want to see like one of his colleagues like pass away in the middle of their job, and we're just like, ah, fucking pussy. Yeah, if they die, they die. Fuck off, Safety Snow, you son of a bitch.
Safety Snow. We can't name the show that. We might.
There's a couple of strong contenders for show names here. It's between that and the Ziggler-Gallagher thing. Zaliger.
You could just stick with Ziggler. Just add an A. Zaliger. Oh, fuck.
I wish I was Tony Khan just for a day, just so I could call Ziggler and pitch that idea to him and just see what he would say, if he would say yes or no. Like, look, just as a reminder, you are working for TNA, right? Yeah. I just want to put that on the table before you hear my idea.
Listen, this is a contract, buddy. This is guaranteed, okay? You ready?
Hey, listen, buddy, you love comedy so much. You're always doing the fucking improv. I got an idea for you. It's comedy related in a sense.
All right, so we're going to bring in Amy Schumer Pinata, first of all. Okay.
Listen, you've smashed some things that look like watermelons.
Oh, that other, that pay us thing. Trisha pay us? Oh, wow. That was a...
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to AEW, folks, because we know how this goes from here. All right. So we talked a little bit about this already, but let's go ahead and get into it a little more. The Sasha Banks thing. Now, obviously, no longer Sasha Banks. Now, Mercedes Moné. And like I said, I thought she got a great pop. I thought the crowd seemed like they were in her. They were chanting the CEO. Oh, she's CEO. The chant embedded in her music. She shut the fuck up. Not all those chants were in her music. Sometimes her music was off and you could still fucking hear it. They piped those in. Listen, you're probably fucking... You probably want Benoit to get in the fucking Hall of Fame. Shut up. Smark, what did you think of this this debut of Mercedes Moné?
It's funny because I was actually kind of the person you were telling to shut the fuck up, because I was like, it's kind of weird that they put like canned cheers into her entrance music. But then I was like, well, I guess it prompts people to fucking be creatures of habit and just sort of chant along anyway. So it's, they want her to be cheered. So it's kind of a smart idea, I suppose. My favorite part of this was she's like right in the middle of this like tear jerking promo about how she like dropped out of school at like 14 to take care of her brother. And at one point she's like, so I decided, and you just hear somebody like in the first row, second row, somewhere near the ring, just fucking yell, "Go back to the Indies where you belong." And I was like, I fucking love live television. There's just some guy, like, she had waited for this moment for like weeks now, and she's like, think about everything she said and get her outfit all ready, and she's all prepared, and she's like, this is her moment after like 2 years of being injured and being gone from wrestling and that kind of shit. And just one random ass dude just fucking completely throws a monkey wrench in it.
Yeah, it didn't faze her. It really didn't. You know, listen, no. Yeah, they piped that shit in. They wanted to get people to chant with the CEO blinking. There's one way to do that, folks. They need to hear the fucking chant. Do the fucking chant.
Mm-hmm.
It's monkey hear, monkey do, folks. I hate to tell you. It's kind of how it works. It's kind of how it works. And it did. And it did. Every time that was on there blinking, they were fucking chanting it. So it did fucking work. The promo, it is what it is. First night there, she was obviously happy to be there. She was obviously emotional. I think we should give it a little time.
I really didn't think it was all that bad. Like, I did think it was funny that the guy was heckling her during the promo. That didn't genuinely make me laugh. But I saw people shitting on it. I didn't think it was that bad, other than just the fact that, like, it's just not super in character with, like, how she normally presents herself, because she sort of just has this whole aura of just being, like, the superstar, just being, like, kind of better than everybody else. So seeing, like, sort of a humble, modest version of her is a little bit jarring, I guess. But, like, obviously, like you said, it was her first day back. It was her first show there. It was her first time with the company. She didn't have any feuds or anything to talk about. So what else is she going to do other than just be like, shucks, guys, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then she said, I'm Boston, I'm home. And do you know how many people jumped on, what does she mean she's home? AEW isn't her home. She said Boston's her home. Can people not listen? Or do they just need something to hate this woman about because she didn't go back to WWE?
That is genuine. Like, you had mentioned it before. It's a funny thing. It's like, if she would have went back to WWE, people would have been like, oh, thank God she didn't go back to this indie company, to go to the indie company, like everybody was saying, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then she went to AEW. She's like, how dare, like, she's like, oh, I saw a bunch of, like, just people with, like, fucking Roman Reigns in their avatar or, like, WWE in their username just being like, fuck her, we don't need her. Fucking Tiffany Stratton's a bigger star anyway. And it's like, what are you talking
about? Just, I hope she does great. I really do. And I look, like you said, the promo was very out of character. I definitely agree with that. It wasn't even that. It was just kind of the cookie cutter, blah, 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 I love being here promo. But here's what I found funny, Smart. And it wasn't about her promo.
And by the by, Punk basically cut the same fucking promo when he came up.
Yes.
Other than just like, WWE killed my passion for wrestling. Other than that part, it was, he cut almost exactly the same promo.
Pretty much. I'm home, glad to be here, blah, blah, blah. And no one bitched at Punk. No one fucking bitched at Punk. Now, another funny thing, though, is Bayley was up there on the rafters. They didn't show her. They didn't show her, but there's pictures of Bayley up there in the rafters. Watching her. Not like Sting. Not with Sting.
She propels from the rafters and they have like an additional harness strapped to her butt.
That'd be... They would need it. They would need it for that ass.
That's kind of what my dream is like, actually. Just, she fucking propels from the rafters. She's dressed like, if you remember that like old fucking Howard Stern character, Fart Man. Like, he went to the Video Music Awards and he had, like Marilyn Manson style, was wearing this, like, outfit with his ass cheeks cut out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Prince did once, too. I think Prince might have been the first one to do the ass cheeks cut out. I think it might have been Prince.
I think that's what they're going to have to do for her, like, if she ever goes to AEW. That's how they announce it.
Ooh, just her with her butt cheeks hanging out?
It's just like, just A does like past week or something.
I don't know. I'm tell you now, if that ever happens, Sky Blue should just quit. Because right now, her ass is breaking the internet. So if Bayley goes there, Sky Blue is gone. SBC is saying Bayley, Naomi, and Tamina were all there under masks. Wow. But Kevin Nash didn't bother. Kevin Nash didn't bother asking if he could go to Sting's last match. Fucking douchebag.
I don't know why Tamina being there is funny to me, but it is.
She's friends with Sasha.
I mean, yeah, it's a cool thing to support your friend, but it's just funny because it's just like, it's sort of the law of diminishing returns in terms of star power. It's like, all right, you got Bayley, that's good. You got Naomi, that's good. You got Tamina. Like, Tamina's probably just out there, like, Davey Richards style, handing out resumes. It's like, look, guys, just in case, here's my card.
Keep it on the down low. Don't tell nobody. We had a little promo from Samoa Joe after all that. Then Adam Cole in this weird, like, vampire-ish Victorian room reading this stupid, like, story about Wardlow and MJF, and I'm just sitting there like, are they trying to make me hate this guy? Because it's working. It's working. Not liking him.
Hate Wardlow or hate Adam Cole?
Cole.
Oh, okay.
But not...
No, I didn't mind it. I feel like it was better than just, like, the usual, like, Wardlow smash promo. Like, I'm going to kick your ass.
I didn't really need a fucking promo for this match fucking anyway. Joe just said something about it. Good to go. Kick this motherfucker off. Adam Cole, sit your fucking ass down and don't say a word.
They need to do... They got to do something with Cole, though, I guess. He's injured and all that kind of shit. Like, it's just, I like the promo, but it was also kind of obvious that they're just, like, trying to figure out what to do now, because the whole crux of their, like, storylines and television was built on an angle involving two men that are now currently injured. So they're like, well, what the fuck do we do now?
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll play it by ear, guys. Let's just do that. We'll go day by day here.
That's it.
There you go. There you, I saw SBC put a bunch more stuff about Kevin Kelly, but we're not going back to that. we're not going back to that. So we had the match. Obviously, Wardlow loses. I think everybody knew that was going to happen because Wardlow's just Tony Khan's bitch for some reason. I don't know what happened there. Wardlow's making his way up the ramp, taken out by Swerve. Got a chain wrapped around his hand, and Joe just kind of walks out of the ring laughing because he knows he's in Swerve's head. So that was all right.
I like the part at the end where it's like Swerve takes out the security guards like to get to Joe, and then Joe walks out of the ring, and then one of the security guards is still like laying down by the entrance ramp, and Joe just kicks him off the ramp and laughs at.
I do love Joe, man. I don't know. I had a hard time watching last night. I really need to probably not watch live, but I had a lot to do today, so I had no choice. I would not have had time to watch this tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking shitty ass internet out here. But then we had Matthew and Nicholas with Okada. They're talking backstage to Alex Marvez, blah, blah, blah. Now, I guess the rumor going around is that AEW signed this guy, Okada, for $4.5 million a year, which is what the little... Which I actually... Now that Matt and Nick, now that the Young Bucks made fun of that on TV, now I don't believe it.
Mm-hmm.
If they didn't say a word about it, I would have believed it. Now that they fucking made fun of it on TV, now I don't believe a word of it. Nope. Because these guys are fucking trolls. Ooh, those are my dogs barking, sorry.
I mean, I could see that going both ways. I could see them making fun of it because it's untrue, and I could also see them like making fun of it as in, like, yeah, it's our business, but whatever, who cares? So, like, either way, it's hard to say. There's no way of knowing. I don't think we're ever really going to know unless something happens. But I'm curious to see how much they actually did end up paying him and how much I've seen. Like, I don't know if you saw it either. It's not a very credible source, is why I'm not, like, bothering mentioning it all that much. Is that allegedly the money that they're giving to Sasha or Mercedes is, like, fucking astronomical. Like, they said that the report that I saw that was not from a super credible source, so take it with a huge grain of salt, was that she was supposed to be the, like, highest paid female wrestler by a long shot.
Well, I mean, she's made a name. She is a big star, but I don't know. We're going to have Snoop back on now?
I mean, I could see them making her the highest paid women's wrestler. But I don't know what exactly they're actually paying her, but, like, it would make sense for them, especially after they lost Jade. It was like they need star power in that division, and that's one of the biggest names available, like in women's wrestling, that is the biggest name available at the moment. But yes, just in general, it's one of the bigger names that was out there that you could have gotten for your company. Well,
I mean, think about it though. If you're paying like your highest paid woman like 800 to all right, let's round it up to $1 million a year, and you gave Sasha 1.5. I mean, she could be the highest paid by a little, or be the highest paid like ridiculously.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the fuck those articles.
But, I mean, like, she has a rabid fan base. Like, I mean, I'm not a huge fan of hers. Like, she's good, but I'm not like, she's not like on my top 10 list of favorite wrestlers, but like, she has a fan base, and the fan base is going to watch your product because she's involved in it.
Look, I like her. She's very talented. She does fine. I think she's a little wooden when it comes to promos, a little robotic, but that's all right. Shouldn't have to be that's perfect.
That's going to be interesting to see too, though. Is like that how much of that was like WWE really? Because like there, I was when we were still watching WWE on a weekly basis, I was complaining that like there was basically like three women that presented themselves as the exact same fucking character, which at the time it was like it was Charlotte, it was Bianca, and it was Sasha. That they all basically had the "I'm the biggest star in the world" character, and like it was basically all just the same shit of like every promo was talking about how great they were.
Right.
It's like maybe if she actually has some freedom to sort of like put things in her own voice and sort of flesh out the character more to her vision, it might be something a little bit different than what we've gotten in the past, but we'll see.
Yeah, I guess we will. Hold on. It looks like I just got an email saying my X password is being hacked as we speak.
Oh, no.
Somebody is really messing with me, but...
Well, I now have an alibi, I suppose.
Well, thank God. Unless you're hacking away at the fucking keys, you little bitch.
It was me, boss man. It
me. There we go. All right, I should be back in now.
Excellent.
All right, I don't know what I was going here because SBC put up a link, and that's what triggered my email to go off. All right, let me see what we got here. It's official. I'm not sure if that's the link he put up. Now I need to go back and double check that that's the link he posted. Here we go. All right. Mercedes Moné. Okay. Mercedes Moné's contract is reportedly over $10 million a year for 3 to 5 years with an opt-out option going into the third year. Makes her the highest paid women's wrestler in history by a mile. Some will say Tony overpaid. Truth be told, she's worth every penny. I don't know about that. Now.
Yeah, that's the exact tweet that I saw, and I wasn't super sure about their credibility.
That's from All Elite Wrestling Tracker. Say what you want, I guess. I want to look at some of these comments. Mm-hmm. So Tony is throwing money at people. Good for him. Stop using tribalism and grow up for once. All right, chill out there, AEW, All Elite Wrestling, AEW Tracker. No, she's not. 10 million is impossible. I don't believe it either. I don't believe 10 million either. I don't believe that.
I don't know if I believe 10 million. I could totally believe that she's like the highest paid female wrestler right now. That's entirely believable. I don't know about 10 million though.
I could believe.
But I mean, also at the same time, if they got the money, motherfucker has, like, I mean, Tony Khan's dad, but like, motherfucker has a fucking boat the size of most people's houses.
Yeah, but I could believe 10 million over 5 years. I could believe that.
Yeah.
That sounds a little more believable, which would probably still make her one of the highest paid fucking women in wrestling history. I just don't see this. This doesn't seem right. These numbers don't fucking track. I don't know where they got these numbers. Give me a source. No one's right. No one's believing this. No one is fucking believing this. No. No one's believing All Elite Wrestling Tracker. So anyway. Nah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to choose to say no on that one. But let's get back to that wonderful, wonderful.
I'll say yes. Why not? Fuck it.
Maybe. Who gives a shit?
There we go.
If she wants.
Exactly. Like, if you have the money and you decide it's worth it to you, it's not my money that you're spending. It's not our money. It's fucking, it's his money.
Yeah. SPC is saying it's a bullshit thing anyway. So no big deal. I'm not worried about it. But, all right, folks, back to this AEW. You know what? We don't need to do this shit right here. We had the fucking Okada match with Matthew and Nicholas and Okada with Penta, Eddie Kingston, and Pac. Pac is back. That was a great thing to see. Rainmaker pinned Eddie Kingston. Smark, I like Kingston, but man, he's not looking good out there at all.
Perfectly fine. I was more enjoying anything more just having a good time watching how much fun it looked like Okada was having being like just a bully. That seemed like he was enjoying himself out there. Man, yeah. Marvez sing and like just like fucking trolling people. I didn't get a chance to see because I only watched kind of New Japan sparingly for a while there. And then once I started getting into it, he was just sort of permanently a face. I haven't really gotten to see much of heel Okada. He seems like he's fucking a good heel character.
He's having fun. We'll see how it goes, man. Guy's been there for what? 2 fucking weeks? I mean, come on. 3 weeks, maybe?
I'm liking it so far. I think it's only been there 2 weeks. They had a match on Rampage. They wrestled some like sort of jobber tag trios team. And the whole match was just Okada wrestling all three of them. And the Young Bucks didn't get involved at all. And he just, like, beat the shit out of all three guys. It was pretty cool.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, you know, I got notes on everything. But you know what? We don't have to go through fucking everything. But we do need to go through this match because there's some questions that we need to fucking obviously ask you. So we got Darby Allin versus Jay White.
Mm-hmm.
Brutal fucking match, which I think we knew it was going to be. Darby must have figured, well, I might die anyway this weekend, so I might as well try to kill myself here.
Mm-hmm.
Jay White gets the win. After Jay White gets the win, the Ass Boys come down. They're beating down Darby. They grab a chair and a bat. Then they go for his ankle. The Acclaimed run down. And you're like, wait, this is supposed to be the Bang Bang Scissor Gang. Nope, they're not down for that. This isn't what they're about, blah, blah, blah. They save Darby. They're walking Darby up the ring. Billy Gunn's in the ring. And Jay White hits Billy Gunn with the chair. Bang Bang Scissor Gang no more, and fucking craziness goes on, and they still got Darby's ankle. Now, obviously they're writing him off because this man is going to climb Mount Everest.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, dude, what happens if this guy doesn't make it back?
I mean, I don't really know how to answer that question. Like, it's sad. It's unfortunate that he passed away. But, I mean, it's not like the, in terms of, like, the wrestling impact of it, he's not written primarily into, he's not like a main focal point of their product at the moment. I think that's kind of why, is I feel like maybe you don't necessarily know how long you're going to have him around for, or whether or not he's going to hurt himself doing something, so you don't necessarily want to make him a big selling point of your company. Or if it was just a matter of, you know, he was just there with Sting, and the fact he didn't really have an opportunity to do much on his own, maybe that's going to change now that Sting retired, but who knows?
Well, I'm not looking forward to, if he doesn't make it back, seeing sad little kids dressed in Darby Allin paint, so... I don't know, man. I think this is a stupid thing for anyone under contract to be allowed to do. Fucking stupid.
I think either way, you're going to probably see a documentary about it.
Oh, great. Wonderful. I wouldn't let this guy fucking do this under contract. Fuck no.
Well, I mean, it doesn't really, if something bad happens to him, it doesn't really fall on AEW negatively, I don't think, right? Because it's like, it was his own free will. They weren't forcing him to do it. It wasn't like a promotional stunt for them.
No, but this will just be more fucking ammo for fucking people to go after AEW for, if anything happens to him. And again, I'm not hoping it does. But it'd be more ammo for people to fucking have to go after AEW with. Make fun of AEW for. That's all it would be. So... I don't know.
I hope that's going to happen regardless.
True. I hope everything goes well. I do. I hope he makes it. So. I guess we'll know sometime the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
There we go, folks. We had this Hook and Jericho match versus Gates of Agony. Hook and Jericho win. A little bit later, they're backstage, and they've got a match next week because Jericho needs to see what it's like to look across from him, across the ring from him. Motherfucker, you could have walked across the fucking ring.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ. Go out there on a fucking break. No one will fucking care. Well, just fucking look at him for a minute. Oh, that's how it feels. All right, I'm out of here.
I mean, I don't think, like, it's not my job to tell him what to do, and he, you know, who knows how much longer he has left to wrestle anyway, but I feel like Jericho maybe should just take, like, a month or two off, because it doesn't really seem like he's doing much of anything, or anything he's doing is really going anywhere.
No.
Just sort of seems like he's just randomly inserted into shit at the moment.
It's like he's just trying to get young guys over, but in order to do that, he's not really getting him over. He's giving him some wins. But it's not really a storyline. It's just kind of it is and it isn't, but it's not a juicy storyline, I guess you could say.
And I mean, I guess to some degree, he's sort of been the victim of bad circumstances for a couple of reasons. Mm. But one reason is mainly being like he was teaming with Kenny, and Kenny had the bad particularitis, so they put him back with Sammy, and then Sammy got in trouble. So it's like, what do you do with the guy now? He obviously had his own issues that, you know, he was in the news for a second there, too. But that's neither here nor there.
No, obviously not. So, anyway, we had the Kyle O'Reilly the little promo.
What the fuck was that?
I don't know. No one's... during his absence, there were dark days of his life where he couldn't even pick up his own daughter. He wonders if he could, blah, 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 blah. I'm sorry, man. I don't care about Kyle O'Reilly.
I don't care about your fucking kids. Fuck you and your daughter. What are you, Dagstar? We get out of here.
We made fun of him when he was trying to fucking pull off the Orange Cassidy gimmick over in NXT.
See, I think that's what they should do. They should just have him, like, be cool Kyle again. Just him and Orange Cassidy are just doing the same gimmick. It's like when they had that fucking episode of The Simpsons where Homer decided to become Krusty the Clown. It's like, that's what we're going to do. Or,
Oh, or
I think I just figured it out.
Oh, shit.
You were saying he just did a promo about his daughter and how you don't give a shit about his daughter. Cash might be going away for a minute. You put him with Dax, and they're just two guys who love their daughters, and people just make fun of him for it.
I didn't say I didn't care about his daughter.
Oh, okay. You don't care about him.
Yeah. Can we please clarify that? I'm not. Please.
Fuck your kids. Fuck your kids. No, what was confusing about that was, okay, I get the idea of, like, that makes sense. Of, like, he was worried more about, like, how he's going to be able to live his normal life being injured and took opportunities away from him and his family and all that. He couldn't hold his daughter. How sad that was. But at the end, he was like, yeah, I'm going to have to do this by myself. And Renee was like, good luck. And he was like, yeah, good luck. And he's like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah. Yeah. And then all these fucking, all the Undisputed Kingdom comes out and, please. I don't know what it was. I just, here, there's another one that they're just like, let's bring them back and we'll figure out what to do next week. And then the week after, and then the week after, and then the week after that. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. So here was the...
Like, I mean, I guess clearly the point of it was that he's going to end up with somebody, teaming with somebody, being a part of some kind of faction or stable. But it was just weird, the way the whole line was delivered and all that shit. Like, it just looked like they were supposed to stop filming, and then they didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It I don't know. A weird one. I guess we'll just have to see where this one goes to. But,
mm-hmm.
But let's get into the main event of this show. Willow Nightingale versus Riho Smark.
Yes.
Wow.
I thought you were gonna say why.
That too. Why? Why was this the main event? Seriously, why? I understand after the ending why it was the main event, because they wanted Sasha to come down at the end. I'm sorry, Mercedes to come down at the end. I get it. And they even gave us a little swerve after Willow beat Riho. Everybody, the lights went out and everyone thought Mercedes was coming down, but it was Julia Hart and Sky Blue. The match itself, though, Riho doing any damage to Willow Nightingale is sci-fi movie bullshit. It's not...
First off, you said Little Swerve. I got an idea. You bring back Leo Rush, you make him Little Swerve. I like where you're thinking with this.
God, please don't listen to this man.
I'm San Antonio Facts right now. Leo Rush is Little Swerve.
No, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. I don't want that. But boy, that would be funny.
I was actually originally thinking when you said that, like you were talking about the micro wrestling earlier, just the idea of there being a Little Swerve would actually be kind of adorable.
That would
be like a little swerve, a little no. They're doing the dance. They come out again in the RC car.
That would be kind of funny. All right. Anyway, let's fucking get this shit over with here. So that there it was, and Mercedes Monet did come down. She saved Willow, and Willow actually ended up holding up her arm. Now we know that. Remember, they do have history together. Those two. Sasha or Mercedes had to drop the title because she was in a match with Willow when her ankle got hurt. And that's what she's coming back from. So there is some history there. And I guess we're going to have to just see what happens down the road there too, Smark.
Yeah. So, like, the match was good. Like, the in-ring portion of the match was good. But, like, yeah, it's really fucking weird that that's what they decided to be the main event. I know what you're saying. Like we were talking about before, it's like, so Sasha could come down, Mercedes could come down at the end of the match or whatever, and that'd be how you close the show. You could have just as easily had that happen like in the middle of the show too. Like it was just a weird choice that that was your main event. It was like, it wasn't a title match. It was like, especially after you have the first fucking Dynamite match that Okada's in.
Yeah.
Like that six man should have been, that should have been the main event. Or yeah, even the Darby match, like that could be the main event too, like whatever.
It could
have been. But it was just weird that those two people, and like neither one, unfortunately, like there's kind of no star power there.
No, nah, but I guess what they really wanted to do was bookend the show. Mercedes starts, Mercedes ends.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing I can think, but I agree with you. Either of the two matches you mentioned, the Okada match or the Darby match, could have 100% been the fucking main event and probably made this show a lot fucking better.
I thought it was a good show, but like even, like, okay, if you want to end on a women's match, like, why not? You have on your roster, you have Ruby, you have Saraya, they're in a feud. You could do that match. You have Sasha come out at the end of that, or you could just have either one of them wrestling somebody else, and then you have her get involved, or, you know, you, somebody that she's worked with in WWE before, and then, you know, that's for the people that are coming in to see her. That's something.
Yeah.
It seemed like a really weird main event.
Well, Ruby is trying to fuck Angelo Parker, so we got some time there.
Yep. And apparently her brother jumped him. Like, sorry, that's the storyline that they're doing right now, is I guess Saraya's brother jumped him. I don't know on what fucking show.
I don't know.
Like, probably either Rampage or something, but who, being the elite or something, I don't know. But that apparently happened. But yeah, you got them feuding. That would be a good thing to have her involved in.
Okay, sure.
Sure. Or, I mean, just anything. Like, it seems so weird.
A lot of this shit seems weird, man. But, that's all I got, my man. It's just been a weird week.
It's cool, though. They announced a bunch of shit for next week because they're going to be in Canada.
Yeah.
So you have the main event is Copeland Christian for the title, the TNT title. And then you have Kingston Okada for the Continental title, not like the three belts, but just the one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple other things they got going on, too. There's going to be a Mercedes promo. So they already have a bunch of shit lined up for next week. So that's cool.
Yeah, should be a good show next week. I hope it is, man. So, anyhow, folks, we're going to wrap this up right now, which means, Smark, tell them where they can find you, my man.
To be honest, I'm not entirely sure anymore. Totally Inappropriate Team Sports is the name of the show. We're on typically Mondays at 8:30, but recently it has been Sundays at 8:30. So we'll go ahead and ride that out and say it's Sundays at 8:30 for the time being. The best way to know, subscribe on the YouTube channel. That's Totally Inappropriate Team Sports. Tits, as it were. Mm-hmm. Be a bra, support tits.
There you go. That's where it is, Sunday, possibly Monday. So figure it out one way or the other.
We're talking NFL free agency, the draft's a couple weeks away, so we'll be talking about that shit too. Ooh. There's all kinds of stuff going on right now. UFC.
Ooh, I might have to watch Draft Day, your favorite.
Mm-hmm. we briefly mentioned that like a week or two ago.
Oh, did you? Nice. Nice.
Yes.
But yeah, folks, thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Thanks, SBC, coming on in the chat. Hopefully everybody starts getting used to Mixler. I'll be honest, folks, I paid for Mixler for the rest of the year, so we've got this bad boy for another 12 months. So right now this is where we're at. If I don't use it for this, I'll use it for Hollywood Hangout. So one way or the other, I'm going to get this bad boy going. And that is it. We will be back here next week, folks, same time, Thursday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, right here, wrestlingoutlet.mixler.com. See y'all later, folks.
Peace.